she really wanted. One reason, two reasons. One is her mother is really, really sick, needs supervision, and the help that we have during the week. She is also Seventh Day Adventist, and she goes to church on Sabbath. So Elena is by herself, taking care of her mom, who has Alzheimer's, who has dementia. She can by herself, could be in trouble, in danger actually for her life. And so she's 90. My wife's mother is 90. She's doing okay. By the grace of God, she, I believe, enjoyed her as much as she can her last days on earth. And I would like to present to you today about people in the Bible that run away, either from God or from something. When we talk about running away, what we are running away from in this life? Other people, circumstances, probably facing situations that we do not want to face. We are running away to avoid facing and dealing with our problems. People use drugs as running away from issues, food, entertainment. More and more people would rather run away than really, really deal with, like you said, we even run from ourselves to deal with what we have. Some run away from paying bills. Some run away from certain sin, from healing the broken-hearted relationships, from their marriage, from many things we are running, we are not facing it. An example from the Bible. Do you know an example from the Bible that people didn't want to face and deal with situations in their life? What comes to your mind? Who ran away from God? The prophets, the prophet of God, Jonah, anybody else ran away maybe from circumstances or situations in life?
Elijah,
yes, from Jezebel and from the evil king and queen.
Peter,
all right.
Jacob,
okay. How about Isaac, anybody else? Running away. David, that's right. What was he running away from? Saul was looking for him, the king, because the prophet said that God is going to set up or put a new king, anointed him. How about Hagar? What was she like? She was a slave. She had a son with Abraham. How did that happen? Was it God's plan? It was not God's plan.
Sarah's plan.
Mm-hmm. She was miserable. She was in a deserted place. A slave ran away in those days. Had no support, no life, no future. In New Testament, one person comes to probably your mind who ran away. And Paul found him, and he wrote a letter that we have today in our Bible. Anybody? What was his name?
Onesimus,
that's right. A slave. Ran away. But we missed one runaway that I would like to talk about today. Right? No, it's actually a person in the Bible. Very famous person in the Bible. He is revered by Muslims. In Judaism, he is very, very important. In Christianity, he is so important. Who was him?
Abraham.
One day, when he was a shepherd, he was called to a mysterious mountain somewhere in Sinai Peninsula. And the journey was perilous, he was filled with fear. And people were looking for him. Why? What did he do? He murdered someone. Anybody? Name?
Moses.
He had an interesting story of his birth. He was born to a Jewish family, not in the best time. In the time when the Pharaoh decided, it's enough. It's too many people, slaves, who could be dangerous. And he demanded that the midwives would murder the boys, little boys who were born, and they disobeyed the Pharaoh. And he is making every step, and every step is going to bring him to his true destiny. God asked him to do something. And you know what God is saying in Jeremiah chapter 29? I have a plan for you. Do you believe that God has a plan for you? God, who created the whole world, the universe, He has a plan for our future. In times of a great famine, Jewish people migrated to Egypt. And they found there a very sympathizing person, a person who basically saved the nation. Who was that? Joseph. Joseph lived his life, he died in Egypt, but his people were all there, still continue to live. For how many years they lived there? 400 years. They didn't suffer right away, but Joseph was there. Joseph was the second person in that nation. After the parent. But after Joseph died, something happened. Slowly. We don't know how exactly when, but slowly they were enslaved. They became slaves. When Moses was born, he was supposed to be killed, but midwives. And also, every time the child was crying, that they were hiding, the family was hiding Moses, it was dangerous. It was dangerous not only for the child, but for the whole family. So, after 3 months of hiding little child, they decided to do something unbelievable. They made
like a bassinet.
But the word in Hebrew for that bassinet is, do you know what? Same word as it is used for the boat that Noah was, an ark. So they put him into the ark, small one. And he was found, and he was adopted by no one else. Who adopted him? The Pharaoh's family, the daughter of Pharaoh. He became the prince of Egypt. Moses, She gave him this name. When he was born, he probably was not even Moses. But when she saw this child, she said, I'm going to name him, and it means to pull out or draw out of the water. And that's what Moses means. He was different. He knew that he was different. How? Mother's Day is coming next week. He was raised by his mother, and she was paid to do that. I mean, we're talking about God, God's plan. That sounds unbelievable, right? A Hebrew baby that's supposed to be killed is adopted by the royal family of Egypt. His mother was able not only to take care of him physically, but I'm sure she was praying over him. She was talking about God with him. When he grew up, when he went through education, the highest education of Egypt, when he was about 40 years old, he decided to go for a walk. And when he was walking, he saw, what did he see? How the slaves were treated. And his heart began to beat harder and faster, filled not with love, but with anger. Do you think that was God's plan for him to take weapon or maybe just his fist and just kill person? He decided to free one person from beating. At that moment, that was his plan. That was not God's plan. He knew that he was not doing what is right. In Exodus 2, chapter 2, it explained in verse 12. How do we know that he knew that he was not doing something that is right? You know, he looked wrong. He was making sure that nobody can see that. He looked around, it says verse 12, and seeing no one, he didn't see him, you know, people, but there were some witnesses. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. We think that we can hide our sins in the sand. Can we? There was, I believe in 2016 or 15, there was a case of kidnapped young woman who had two children. And for 22 days, everybody was looking for her. Sherry Papini, if you remember that case. Why would you remember the case? Because she was found 500 plus miles away. Hi. Beaten, tortured. After investigations, some time of investigating, it was found out that it was fake. She ran away with her lover. And then by the end of it, she felt that she misses her children so much that she wanted to go back and ask her lover, demanded that he would beat her up so it would look believable. Her husband was praying every day that she would be found. She received a sentence of 18 months in prison. She lost her family, kids, husband. Because when she was a so-called kidnapped case, the police was working, looking for her, Lots of money was raised. Many people in the country were sending their chips money to help to find her. The next day, in this story, in the Bible, after killing, murdering an Egyptian, the word came around. Moses went out and he thought, he went outside and he thought that everybody Jewish, among Jewish people would be praising him and give him glory or give him at least, you know, say thank you. But they didn't accept him. They didn't accept that. They said, are you thinking about killing us as well, like you killed the Egyptian? And when Pharaoh heard about this, he started looking for him. At that moment, he decided to run away. He became a fugitive and criminal on the run. No longer an Egyptian prince. No more luxury. No more privileges, comfort. No more running toilet. Pharaohs were treated as not human beings. Do you know that? They were believed to be a half human and half divine. They were worshipped. And now he is running into the desert. And now he finds a family who lives in the desert, actually. The daughters of Jethro first met Moses and he helps them not only to water the animals that they were shepherdess, but also male shepherds came and they kind of pushed the girls away from the well. And that's when Moses came and he defended these ladies. And we know his father, their father was, his name was Jethro. Who was Jethro, if anybody remembers? By profession. What was his profession? He was a priest. What kind of priest? Pagan priest. Right? And into today, what would you call a priest, a pagan priest? What would you call? What is another word for that?
Father?
Witch.
Have you heard shaman? Shaman, sorry. So, even if you are a priest, pagan priest, you can still be a very nice and good person. I met so many great people in the Soviet Union that didn't believe in God. I had friends, many friends, who were atheists. Wonderful people. Kind people. Forgiven. Why? Because the Holy Spirit and God works on the hearts of stone and makes them the hearts of gold and love. Do you believe there are other gods? Or there is only one God? There are other gods. The Ten Commandments say, and we went through this, thank you for reminding us, but one of them says, you shall not have any other gods before you. So there are other gods, right? Give me an example of God that people worship. Whatever you spend your time, your resources, your money on, that's your God. Whatever you worship in your life, that's your God. Do you like to watch horror movies? That's your God. You enjoy that? That's your God. We feed our gods by giving them what we have. Our health, our life, our time. We drink, we eat, we watch what is harmful for us. We lust, we get angry, not in appropriate time. We desire what does not belong to us. We pretend and we make excuses. Those are gods. We worship. Not this Friday, not yesterday, but last Friday, something happened that I would like to share. And that was, my wife went for a walk in the evening, and she called me. She went for a walk with the dog. She calls me and said, there is a stray dog running here. And you know, we live by the place where there's like mountains and no houses on the other side of baseline. It's at the end of baseline, so there are many mountains there. And the dog started running, and I came with treats, I came with rope, and I talked to the dog just, but he kept going away from me. And then he crossed the road and started climbing the mountain. And I started climbing the mountain. And have you ever tried to run up the hill? It's so difficult, and it was steep. And of course, the dog won, disappeared. And the worst part of it is that we have wild animals there. They come into the neighborhood even where we are. And usually the dog cannot survive longer than maybe a few nights if the dog is lucky. And the dog was running away, and I would have been taking the dog. So I started going to around. Next day, and I couldn't start. Here's another story in the Bible, and we find it in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. You know this story as the story about prodigal son. Who is running in this story? It's not prodigal son. Prodigal son just came and demanded what he actually was not supposed to belong to him until his earthly father would be dead. So to divide what anybody has, usually it happens after the death, right? The sons, the daughters taking what the father or the mother left for them. This son came to the father and demanded when the father was still alive. It's like saying, I treat you as you are dead. Give to me what belongs to me at your death. It's a parable about earthly father, but also it's a parable about our heavenly father. Because the father was always looking for the prodigal son every day. And one day, the son came to his senses. He came to understand that it's better for me to be there by my father, even as a slave, as a servant. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's what he thought before he even started his journey back. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm arms around him and kissed him. Here, what is important? You cannot be found unless you are lost. Do you know that you are lost when you are in sin? Do you understand that? Unless you are lost, you cannot be found. You got to be lost to be found. And God waits. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we find ourselves running away from our circumstances. God waits. Sometimes we are running into the wilderness. God not only find Moses in the wilderness, in the desert. He gives him time to become humble. As a shepherd, he is no longer in the royal palace. He is not a prince of Egypt. He was a simple shepherd doing his job. He thought he is going to retire and die as a shepherd. But God has a plan. He was a fugitive of the law. Now he is going to be the deliverer of the law. His identity was something that he lost completely. Now he finds his identity, purpose. And God takes imperfect things and makes it perfect. God chooses us when we are away from grace. God runs toward us when we run away. When we run away, sometimes we run into God. God rescues us when no one else cares. Amen. Why? Because he loves us. This is the time when I want to say how blessed my family was here with you, and just amazing the privilege to serve in this place. It's something we do not deserve, something we cannot do without God's will. One of the hardest thing in life is to say goodbye. We all know that because we lost on this journey of life too many people that we love, too many friends, too many relatives that we love. But there is something that we need to look forward. We need to look forward to the time when we will be again together. Reunited with all of those people that we lost on the way. And that's why we live on this planet. Because we have a choice. Life with God or life without God. And I don't know how to say how many times to say thank you. Maybe just one big thank you to each one of you. This church is amazing because everyone here, it's for the first time in my life that I'm in the church where everyone is active. That's the goal, actually. When I was at the seminary, the goal of a minister is to make people active. Because Christianity is not about just theory, it's not about just belief, but it's an action. Faith is an action. And that's why I just love this church, because that's what makes us better Christians, when we do something for God. And so, keep doing it. Do not feel that maybe I'm not qualified to do something, or I cannot do that, or it's impossible for me, I'm not skillful or talented. Or, like Noah, who was 600 years old, 500-600 years old, or this fellow was 80 when God called him to do something. Sometimes some of us might feel, I'm too old. I remember reading a story about a lady. She couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. She was blind. She was old. And she was asking God, how can I serve you? What can I do? And she found a way. She found a way to be able to call people, talk to them, pray over the phone with them. How much we can do for God? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Today, what can I do for you, God? Is there anything I can do? And what a blessing it was for me to learn to see your Christian walk, your dedication, your faithfulness. And I'm not exaggerating, but I will truly, truly see.
I wonder if I could get you to help us in one more question. Okay, Pastor Redoing, please stay here for a second. I put on Facebook. I wrote this. This Sabbath will be the final Sabbath for Pastor Redoing as our pastor of Crestline Church. We're grateful for the time he served with us. And we congratulate him as he moves on to another church. And then a few people sent messages. Richard Masunga, you know that name? Pastor, I and my family wish you well in the next district. Thank you for having been used by God in your previous station. All the best. Deneen Hunting. Remember Deneen? I was just saying to my nephew that he was the best pastor I've had in the five churches I have attended since I returned to church in 2020. I pray he will continue to be a blessing wherever he is going.
Amen.
Amen.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
For you, but I was touched.
We have a slide.
I can't hear you. My phone.
Can't hear you.
Okay.
We have a slideshow that we want to present, so we'll sit down in the pew and watch it. Is that it?
No.
So we'll do that. I have an envelope here with some messages from your friends and a gift from your church. And we, you know, we love you and we are going to miss you. But we hope today is a special day for you. After the slideshow, it's kind of a memory time. Then your elders are going to join you here and we want to pray for you. And I'm hoping you can sit if you want. We're going to kneel with you and pray for you as our last act as part of your congregation here. Okay. So now the slide. Said we're everybody in this church is active. That's because there's 8 of us or 10. And everybody, of course, has done their part. Luis did the bulletin today. She did the slideshow. Alicia brought her talents in the kitchen. Stephen made a special trip up to be here to collect the offering your last time here. And now your elders will bring. We hope that you will. Do you want to sit or do you want to kneel? Okay. After this, then we will have our closing song, and Jed and I will be playing for it, and then that will be the close of our service. kneel in the middle of it, if you want to lay a hand on your foot. If you were in the middle. Yeah, I think so. Okay, I need somebody on my side. People on the phone.
I'm going to take my lifting down.
Attention to touch him.
Lifting the curtain. Okay.
Gracious and loving Father, today we are filled with gratitude for our brother, Pastor Paulo Rodori. He has served us well. For 11 years, he has been our shepherd. Some of the people in this congregation have had life-changing situations in their lives. He has been close to us and supported us and reminded us of your love always. We thank you for this wonderful servant of God that you have provided for us for this time. We want you to know, Father, how grateful we are for him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Loving Father, we do thank you for Pastor Udoy, and we thank you for the blessing the intersection of our lives, our church, and this family has been to each one of us. Thank you for his love for our church. Thank you for his love for our families. Now we'd like to take a moment and pray specifically for his family. We know that we don't exist in this world alone, but that we are part of a nuclear family and part of your family as well. And I pray for Elena as well. Thank you for the blessing she's been as well, especially to my late wife. She was such a friend to me. Pray that you be with her as she takes care of her mom and supports Pastor Udoy. Also pray for their daughter. She's growing, filling the place in life that you have for her. We thank you for Lord, I also pray for all the rest of his family, some of which has been dramatically impacted by the conflict in his homeland. You know, all these things, you remember them, bring them to you and just ask that you bless them with the opponent in this transition.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful at this time that we can be give credit to you and that your servant, Pastor Paulo Rodori, has been a faithful blessing to you. We've been all blessed by his ministry, and through him and under his guidance and leadership, we've been establishing kind of a presence and an outreach to the community. And we're grateful for all that. And we also pray that he'll be a blessing equally as well to the congregation that he's going to next. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I'd like to pray for wisdom for Pastor in this new church, in this new mission field, Lord, who is helping to lead a lot more people to Jesus. And please give him strength. Please give him power from heaven, Lord, the Holy Spirit, so that wherever he goes, he will bless him and he will be able to show people the way to heaven. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The cab of remote control. Okay, from would some of you can sit here up front, I guess. Sit. Yeah. Okay. right there. More for me. Eric, come. Come, Eric, come, come. We can still fit you on that side. Who else? Elsa? You have Kate for going with the picture. Luisa.
See, we have a cake for everyone in the
picture. Yes. Good job, good job.
Make sure you can see yourself.
Ready?
Oh.
We're going to have 3 seconds. Okay, I see Ashley, I see everybody. We have 3, 2, 1, another one. Ready? We have 3 seconds. And it takes 10 pictures. So.
Wow.
You should all have a picture. Hold on, let me check it. It's a good one.
What do you think? Well, I think it's a
good one. Okay.
Make another one, maybe, if you want.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah?
Let's go.
Everybody in there? Yes. We got everybody. Oh, thank you. Thank you for participating.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay, closing song.
You're
right.
I think the words are going to be on the screen, right, Louisa? Yes, the words are on the screen, but quiet space enough so you can't see them. Just the first verse, quiet.
Okay, so God be with you.
Wait, I'm trying to turn on the.
We're gonna have the screen now.
You have this, the words on the screen?
I have it, but it's still off.
Okay. What's the number?
65.
Thank you for letting me borrow.
Okay.
Let's see how forced it is.
It's going to take one. One minute. I think we probably all know the first one.
Yes.
I'm